Our gracious and lovingly Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege that we can gather together and that we can worship your holy name. And Lord, that we can do this freely, for we know that there are those around the world that do not have that freedom. And we can gather whenever we want to. And we are so thankful for that. Lord, in this morning hour, we would ask that you would be with us, that you would bless us. Lord, that you would speak through me to those that need to hear your word. Lord, be with us now and bless us. For we ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I don't have a particular verse or chapter that I'll be reading from. I will be reading from several. If you'd like to follow along, you can do that. I may be doing it a little bit faster, but we can see where that goes. I think one of the things that we do as Christians, or one of the common sayings that we have, is that we are a child of God. And we say that because the Bible tells us so. In Romans 8:16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Galatians 3:26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." But unfortunately, too often, I think we stay there. And we like to lean on those verses saying that we are children of God. And sometimes we forget that the Bible goes on and tells us more. In Hebrews 5, verses 13 and 14, it says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That's called growing up in your faith. Not staying as a child, as a babe, who can only have the milk of the word and is not ready to have the meat of the word. If you take, for example, a couple is pregnant, they have their baby. What are the things that we want to know? We want to know male or female. What's their name? How much did they weigh? And how long are they? Those are basically the four things that we are interested in. And how's everybody doing? But from a doctor's perspective, the doctor doesn't really care whether it's male or female. Doesn't really care what their name is. The doctor's concern is the baby growing before you leave the hospital? And what do? They feed the baby and they weigh the baby. And then they feed the baby. And then they weigh the baby. And they feed and weigh and feed and weigh. All to make sure that the baby is growing. The last thing that the doctors want to see is for a baby to start losing weight and not being able to gain that weight back. In the same fashion, God is concerned when we don't grow. If he sees us as his children and we are not growing in him, then as a doctor would not see a baby growing and say something is wrong, the same thing with God. God is very concerned when we do not grow as his children. We as parents, our children don't stay as children. They grow up. They go to college. They get married. They have kids. And the cycle begins again over and over. God's goal for you in your life, simply stated, is that we grow up. That we grow up spiritually in his word, in his faith. That is what he wants for our life. And the truth is that God has gifted us that differently. What it looks like for one person to grow up in their faith is different from what it looks like from another person to grow up in their faith. It's just like saying, you know, when we grow up, we all don't become accountants or teachers or mechanics or whatever it may be. We all have different vocations. And that's the same thing as it is when we grow up in Christ. God guides us through our faith, through our life, to lead us to different ways. But each way is to serve him. Your occupation outside of your spiritual growth is just what you do to put food on the table and to build God's kingdom. But in reality, in our spirit, we want to and should want to grow up. So you may ask, well, what does that look like? What does it look like to grow in our spirit? Romans 12:10 says, it said that to be devoted to one another in love. That's one way that you can tell that you were growing in the Lord. To have the ability to overlook differences that we may have. That we would be able to encourage each other. That we'd be able to build each other up in our faith and in our walk. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 15 shows us what we should do and how we should do it. It says, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build the body up. That's what that means. And it continues, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually unto a perfect man, a mature believer, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you may ask, why do we have ministers and teachers and Sunday school teachers and Bible class teachers? What is the purpose to have that? It's so that we would grow up. Our job as ministers is to feed the Word of God to you. Because just like Peter says, as babes in 1 Peter, second chapter, he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. How should we grow then? What does that look like? Have you ever seen a dry sponge and just taken some water and pour the water on the sponge? Something that may be shriveled up starts to grow and can hold more and more water. That's what we should be in our spiritual lives. We should be sponges, wanting to soak up God's word, wanting to soak up the knowledge that he has for us and the understanding and the guidance that comes with that. It says that we soak it up so that we can grow up, so that we can be built up to the knowledge of the Son of God. Why would you want to do that? It may seem as a silly question to ask, but we need to be ready to answer somebody who asks that question. Why would I want to do that? Because if we continue in what we are reading, it says that we henceforth be no more children, spiritually immature, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I'm sure if I would ask Brother Dushko, would you agree with me in saying the number one priority or goal for us as believers is to grow up? That's what we as ministering brothers want you to do. We want you to grow up. And the truth is, that process of growing up looks like a certain way. Unfortunately, some people think that just by coming to church, that we will be mature. But if you don't soak up that nourishment, if you don't bring that word of God into your soul and into your life, You go nowhere. And I know, unfortunately, there are many people in the church that have been coming for a long time that have not matured. I heard it said once, the saying is, there are too many people in the church that are saved and shallow. It's like a teacher who has been teaching the same thing for 25 years. They don't have 25 years of experience. They have 1 year of experience 25 times. You say to yourself, well, I want to be saved. But you also don't want to be an infant for the rest of your life. You want to grow in your faith and develop your faith and not just stay where you are and thinking everything is perfectly fine. I'm good. I'm a child of God. You know the saying, God wants us to come as we are, but not stay as we are. He wants us to grow. 2 Peter, the first chapter, Peter talks about the precious promises that we have been given. And he goes on to say in verse 5 through 10, he says, and besides this, besides these precious promises that God has given us, that he has bestowed upon us freely, he says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, look at what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, if you possess a little of each of these qualities, you're okay. It doesn't say that. It says, if you possess these in increasing measure. What are the these that he's talking about? He's talking about faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness. He says, if you possess those things in increasing measure, constantly growing in those things every single day, it says they make you that ye shall neither be barren, ineffective, nor unfruitful, unproductive, in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you find yourself being ineffective and unproductive in your spiritual journey, it's probably because you do not possess those things in increasing measure. You're probably still thinking, if I possess a little bit of this, a little bit of each of those. The more you grow in those things, the more effective that you become. How do we grow? If you look at Acts chapter 2, this is talking when new Christians, they were just converted. And it says, then they gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. What is the apostles' doctrine? That is what you are hearing today. That's what you see, and hopefully that becomes embedded in your lives, the apostles' doctrine. The breaking or fellowship and breaking of bread. Spending time with each other. Sitting down, having a meal together. Talking about how God is working in your life. How often do we do that? We will sit down and talk about almost anything else. We'll talk about sports. Talk about the new car that you just got. We may even go as low as to talk about politics. But the thing that is most important in our lives, we skim over. How often does it happen to you that somebody comes up to you and asks you, how are you? And you say, good. And you know that's a flat out lie. But you don't want to go into it. You say, now's not the time. Now's not the place. I'm too embarrassed. This is something that I don't want to discuss with other people, so I'm going to keep that inside. If you want to grow, we have to truly consider all of us in the true sense of the word as a brother and a sister. Not just a brother and a sister on Sundays. And when they did this, what happened? It says, and fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, and praising God and having favor with all people. That does not mean that everybody agreed with them. That doesn't mean that every person that they came in contact accepted the word of God and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because we know that didn't happen. But what that means of having favor with all people is that they said, this person is an honest person, an upright person, a true and genuine person. People can mock us and hate us for our beliefs. But what they should not be able to do is mock us for our words and our attitude. Because our words and our attitude show the love of Christ. Show them how we have grown up in the Lord, how he has touched our souls and what he is doing in our lives. But if you go back and it says, you know, for those things that we need to grow in, it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What a terrible and dreadful state to be in, that we forget that we were purged from our sins. It says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, instead, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Let me ask you a question. What does your spiritual growth look like? Rhetorical, I don't need you to answer me, but ask yourself, what does my spiritual growth look like? What does your spiritual growth today look like compared to what it looked like a year ago? Are you growing? Or are you just remaining the same and hit a plateau? Or God forbid, are you shrinking as a Christian? What does your spiritual life look like today? And what will it look like a year from now? Will you be the same? Or will you continue to be that sponge that soaks up God's word? In closing, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain, that the work that we do in engaging God in our spiritual life will always be fruitful. It will never be worthless. That our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen.